It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Microsoft's Satya Nadella will host his first press conference as CEO of the company. As its new leader, Nadella has his work cut out for him. While Microsoft's business and cloud computing products have surged, hardware like its Surface tablet has not done so well. Speaking of which, the new CEO might be about to announce that Microsoft Office software can now run on other devices, and that could be a big deal, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Microsoft has resisted this for years.
We think that was a mistake.
Frank Gillette's an analyst with Forrester Research, and he says Microsoft's stubbornness has cost the company more than $1 billion in revenue. The iPad is the most popular tablet on the market, and according to Gillette, iPad owners want an Office app.
They're using their iPads to check their email for work, and they want to glance at an attached presentation, document, or spreadsheet.
Microsoft had worried that if it made an Office for iPad, it would undermine Microsoft's own tablet called the Surface. But companies are buying employees' iPads, and according to Morningstar analyst Norman Young, that's a problem for Microsoft.
If they start losing business to iPad and they're not using Office, that's a potential nightmare.
David Curley with Gartner says today could signify something important about Microsoft's future.
A willingness to look beyond its own insular Microsoft environment.
And analysts expect we'll see more of that with Satya Nadella in charge. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
You know by now that Facebook bought virtual reality startup Oculus VR for $2 billion. Oculus makes a headset that you strap over your face, and it can immerse you in a 360-degree virtual environment that could be great for everything from video games to boardroom meetings. But Oculus, like many startups, began on Kickstarter, and whatever Facebook plans for it are, some of its hardcore fans are writing angry things on the internet about how Oculus has lost its cred. So we called up a guy who could respond to that fear. Santo Politi is a co-founder of Spark Capital. He's an early investor at Oculus VR who sits on the company's board.
We thought very long and hard before we sold it to them. So it, not only they have a huge amount of resources, they have a lot of users. And on top of it all, the founders met with Mark a number of times. And they really felt like they had a shared vision.
So to speak, a shared vision.
So yes, they saw Oculi to Oculi. I read some of the stuff, but I think, you know, the Facebook agreed to let the company alone to rebuild whatever they need to do, all that kind of stuff, and hire all the engineers they need to hire. So I think it will be just fine.
Only time and software will tell. That's Santo Politi of Spark Capital. It's spring break season. That means a lot of families are spending more time together than usual, and teens have a lot of extra time on their hands to overuse technology, maybe. But parents should remember those living in glass houses shouldn't throw smartphones. Microsoft researcher and author Dana Boyd has been thinking a lot about this. I caught up with her at her hotel while we were at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Dana Boyd is the author of It's Complicated, The Social Lives of Networked Teens. Dana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I know that there's a story in your book that has to do with a football game.
I begin the book sitting in Nashville, where I was attending a high school football game. And what I saw at that football game is, in many ways, not unlike what I had seen when I was a teenager, you know, many years before. You know, the big difference, of course, was technology. There were devices in everybody's hands. But one of the things you often hear is adults complain, like teenagers, they're not willing to socialize, they're so obsessed with their technology. But it was actually the adults who were all staring at their devices.
Why this difference?
Teenagers, this was their place where they could hang out with their friends on their terms. Adults, on the other hand, felt as though they had to be there because their kids were in the game. So, for example, the entire situation switches at home at night when parents really want family time and teenagers are like, no, I want to hang out with my friends.
Does that mean basically that technology is kind of a blank slate
For teens, they use it in all of the ways that teens have always used spaces where they can gather with their peers. And they mirror and magnify the good, bad, and ugly. You know, we see young people who are hurting, and they're making that just as visible as young people who are doing really well. And we blame the technology for making all of this visible, rather than saying, wow, I have a window into people's lives. Can I step back? Can I appreciate? Can I figure out how to intervene in a productive manner?
What did you learn while writing the book that actually surprised you?
You know, the thing that I saw change the most in the decade of work had to do with privacy, which is that when I started out this project, adults weren't paying attention to the internet. What I saw is that teens used to post things that were pretty interpretable.
Plain English.
Straight sentences, really obvious, like, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm doing. Whereas what I saw over the decade is they started to encode things. Song lyrics, ways of overusing pronouns so that everybody knew what was going on unless you were a stranger. Right? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what she said. I know, can you believe Friday night? I know. It's like, I don't know. what is that about? And it's mostly because of parents. But the thing is it ends up allowing you to also keep snooping little brothers out of the way, to keep people in your school that you don't particularly like, you know, all of those issues at play.
Dana Boyd is the author of It's Complicated, The Social Lives of Networked Teens. She's also the principal researcher at Microsoft Research. Dana, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Quick note before we go. Yes, Twitter continues to become more like other social networks. The company now allows you to tag people in photos. I guess I've got some untagging to do. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.